Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 67, Episode 2 of Dead Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google, and social media. It's Tuesday, January 29th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Brian, say Jack O'Brien. That's courtesy of Hannah Soltis. That was supposed to be love me, say that you love me. But my voice is such that it was impossible to tell. Well, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Butterfly in the sky, I can get twice as high. We take on crooks, spit a hook, a reading Graybo. I can go anywhere. Facts to know, a killer show. We're reading the Zeitgeist. And smoking at the same time. Thank you to at Taylor T. Fleming for that.
Reading Rainbow?
Yeah.
AKA?
I could see the intro to that show in my mind as you were.
Yeah. I loved that show.
Yeah.
As a kid.
We should do it.
And I, even then, I couldn't even read, and I loved it. That's how you knew it was a good show.
Well, isn't the show like him reading to you, basically?
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, you want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Literally.
I've found that I've spent less of my time since learning to read being read to.
When was the last time you were read to?
It's been a while.
Yeah. I think that's a form of self-care. Like there's something soothing about being read to. I mean, there was that one time I had a terrible accident and I had to have a textbook read to me in college. But that was the last time I think I was read to.
Wait, what was this accident? And how'd you get away with this scam?
I was at Hooters and I was juggling the hot sauce and The cap came off one of them midair and all over my eyes. Got Hooters hot sauce.
That can't be true, but
well, ask great them in Burbank. Story. They call me Blindy McJuggles.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and returning guest, Mr. Blake Wexler,
aka Blindy McJuggles. The second. Yeah.
I stole the thing. They know me there because I used to steal the thing the paper towels would come on because I thought that was a funny bit.
Uh-huh.
And then I would just have a lot of paper towel dispensers. It looked like it was just a wooden rod.
Wait, that's not a bit. That's theft.
That's theft. Yeah. Yeah, that's what right. And you're right. That's right. What the magistrate court said also.
Of course.
But anyway, this
isn't
about
me. Well, there are a
bunch
of prudes over there in the magistrate, I've found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit when you're doing it and it's completely purposeless, right? It's like,
well.
That's a mental illness.
Right.
Yeah. Well, then I sell them on Craigslist.
Right.
That's true.
That is funny.
Is that theft?
Yeah. I have trouble sometimes, you know, discerning between the two.
It's hard.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I'm just getting back from illness. Now, Jack, I've passed the illness baton on to Jack.
I know. Mm. I was sick over the weekend.
Couldn't hear it in your voice.
No, I sound great. I'm glad I picked a AKA that was relied on me hitting high notes to be even identifiable. Well, Blake, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. Aquaman is now officially the biggest DC movie ever. We're going to talk about how that happened. And we're going to talk about a couple millennial just bullshit marketing in general.
Yeah, it might not be millennial. I don't know how these other people are. But.
Right. You don't need to be a millennial to fall for just crazy bullshit. We're going to talk about 2020 and all the people announcing who's looking good, who's terrifying all Democrats, Howard Schultz. We are going to talk about some inside information on what happens when you go to the White House and get a personal tour from the president, because since he doesn't really work, he spends a lot of his time in office just giving people personal tours.
Yeah, like a Walmart greeter.
Right. Just being like, oh, this is pretty cool, huh? I'm president. Pretty cool.
You want to buy 4 Meyer lemons for $1?
What?
And we're going to talk about just a new shade of Trump we're seeing for the first time, just kind of angry, not happy, but unhappy in a way that is, I don't know, wounded, sort of like sad boy Trump.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Baby Shark and answer the question, what is Baby Shark? And from whence did it come? But first, Blake, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, I... sorry. What is...
Already.
Is that bad? Is that not...
Is this a phone sex hotline?
Yes.
This is delicious dish.
Phone sex was actually the last Google search, and it says a lot about me.
I'm
a pervert who only responds to
how
sound.
How to phone sex?
Yeah. Huh. There should have been a predicate or something.
Right.
Return slow tennis hits.
Return slow tennis hits.
Yeah. I just started playing tennis poorly, and my girlfriend I've been playing, and she just keeps dropping shots in on me, and I keep charging the net and not getting there in
right.
time. Yeah,
I think they're called drop shots in the tennis parlance, but I would have never guessed that you weren't a lifelong player from calling them tennis hits.
Yeah, return slow. How do I return those slow tennis hits? Wow. Fucking Roger Federer over there.
And the general way that I dress would also suggest that I have a huge tennis player.
You do have a visual white headband on today.
Yeah, I do.
And 4 wristbands.
Yeah.
And Andre Agassi's wig.
My shorts do not go below the pelvis, nor will they.
Right.
Never. Ever.
How long have you been playing?
Like a month and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did she play? Did she get you into it? Or
she just got me into
it. Gifted natural.
She is like naturally athletic. Okay. So. But yeah, she's way better than I am, but like I've been YouTubing it and also, you know, clearly having very in-depth searches on Google.
I'm sure there's a lot of tennis play, a lot of tennis watchers in the Zyte gang.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, shout out to Naomi Osaka, fucking number one now.
Whoa.
Hold that.
Did she win the Australian Open?
Yes, she did. Now ranked number one in the world. Watch out now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, she might help you out.
She sounds busy, but she can find a moment.
I will occasionally get into just like tennis/table tennis/ like watching tennis holes where I'm just like obsessed for like a month and then just have to like break myself out of it.
And just go back to watching Street Luge.
Yes.
And the X Games.
Exactly.
I think the X Games should happen 6 times a year. And they will not listen.
What happened?
It's a lot of Mountain Dew.
Remember when the X Games were literally like every season?
Yeah.
It was like time for the fall X Games.
Right.
Like, what the fuck's the fall?
They jump into a really big pile of leaves off of like a. what is something you think is overrated?
Overrated writing bad reviews about some things, like on Yelp.
Okay.
The people I've surrounded myself around have raved about it, and then it was time for me to write a bad one about an Airbnb experience that I had, and it happened a week ago, and I still haven't written it, because I don't want to make someone feel bad, even though they made me feel terrible with their thin floors. Their papers.
Is that how you
fall through the floor?
I can't walk anymore, and I feel terrible for them. I don't want them to be sued.
Right.
Yeah.
No, what is thin floors? What? How,
How does that manifest itself?
Look, he was playing beer pong and he went for the slam and he went right through the floorboards.
Let me tell you, my plant foot went right through the floor. I could hear the upstairs neighbor yawn.
Oh my gosh.
Which was both relaxing and infuriating.
Right.
Yeah, at least someone's doing well.
Was it contagious through the floorboards? Did you then yawn because he yawned?
In that case, I didn't because I was too, I had an adrenaline rush of anger, but I've felt dirty in public when I've caught a yawn from a stranger who looked, you know, disgusting.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, fuck.
Like, oh, God, what am I going to get?
Wait, so that was the worst of it? Was you could hear someone
they had
yawn?
A baby. They had a toddler who would scream at 5 o'clock in the morning.
There we go.
Right.
But you're just giving us an idea of just how thin. You could hear a yawn.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, there was a young child.
A very young child.
Screaming.
Right. Screaming at the top of its strungs.
Damn.
That's terrible, man. But I agree.
I'll be fine.
It's on the one hand, you want to feel that you're kind of doing a service for future people who are going to, like, one time my wife and I got real in deep on this bad Yelp review because the guy he had a way of dealing with Yelp where he would get our review deleted and it was like such bad service. He like brought his dog and gave our dog fleas from his dog.
Oh my God.
And his dog literally smelled like a walking piece of shit. Like it just smelled the worst that you've ever, worst smelling thing ever. And then he did a bad job. He was like a Roto-Rooter. He would like churn up your yard.
The funniest Yelp review I ever saw was someone created an account as Abraham Lincoln and like made the photo of the account Abraham Lincoln and reviewed the Ford Theater as 1 star. And the review said was killed here 1 star.
That's what I do. I just create historical Yelp accounts.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But anyways, we had to fight to get it kept up. But once it was up, we got like 30 people like thanking us for putting it up because the guy was like basically manipulating Yelp to keep it up there. But then I've had other times like where it's not a Yelp thing where I'm just like, you know, this giant telecommunications company needs to hear my complaint and it's just completely wasted energy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so they might as well just wave, keep shaking your fist at the sky.
Right. They do not give a crap about you.
Oh, wow. Way to censor you. Wow.
Very nice.
Shout out to our new sponsors, Cox Cable. just back to your thing though, you didn't want to give the in Airbnb review of the place, or you were going to go on Yelp to roast an Airbnb thing?
Oh, no, the in Airbnb.
I mean, because
it's
more
personal.
Do that in a very direct way, right? You're not going like this fucking miscreant. You're just like, you know, if you're looking for a restful evening, you might want to look somewhere else as the floors are so thin that I could hear the guy yawn.
Right.
Boom.
How much do you charge to write copy for Airbnb?
I'll do that for
complaints?
Free, man.
You will?
Yeah, just have one call with my stepmom, and then I'll write all kinds of bad reviews about anything, man. I'm charged up.
What is something you think is underrated?
Also, she's not going to replace my mom.
Yeah, no.
We've
talked about this,
right,
Miles. She's not.
Because March 7th, 2001.
I know, but she's not really trying to, right?
I don't know.
You're still bringing this up? It seems as if this would've...
No, I'm fine.
No, it's fine.
We weren't even talking about...
Hey, Blake.
You want that Yelp review written right now?
Hey, Blake, that's underrated, Blake?
Okay. My bad.
I don't even... It's very distracting what he's doing right now. The way I've never seen someone text so hard in my entire life.
Fuck, I broke the screen.
Underrated, I would say free trials.
Free trials
of things. It's been a good year. I read this article recently about how much money free trials have been costing millennials because they keep forgetting to cancel them and then the recurring subscription charge.
Right.
I don't remember the exact figure, but it is staggering. But just set a reminder and then like when you know you'll be home and you can cancel it.
Right.
And then use a different email and sign up again.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
But see, millennials suffer from, what is it?
Errand fatigue.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a real thing.
Oh my God.
It seems like the perfect generation to be like, yeah, man, it's like $1 billion industry is just on people not having their shit together enough to be like, yeah, I need to just get
cancel
three buttons.
This thing.
Literally three buttons.
Right.
Yeah. Are you sure? Yeah.
Then when the phone call comes.
Sometimes
yes,
it's a little tricky.
Right.
But I do think that is an entire industry that is benefiting from errand fatigue, basically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think The only time I was real quick to end the subscription was for a porno site.
Yeah,
right. When I was like 19,
what you wanted?
When I got my first debit card, and you could like do shit like that. And I had I was doing tally marks in the wall and shit. I was like counting down to my fucking 16-day trial was over.
Right.
Best believe I was done. Oh, after that, God. I'm still paying for some kind of like dog collar that tracks my dog. I used it once.
Oh,
And I've been paying $10 a month.
To
think about how much money I've given them.
Don't think about it. It's best not to think about this.
Best
things.
Not to think about it, yeah. And just keep it going.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Just move. Change your billing address.
Did your dog still wear the collar?
Hell no. It's too bulky and shit. That's the other part. I lost the fucking thing.
Right.
And then when I fire up the GPS,
they should have a tracker for
the
tracker.
It just like says it's somewhere like near my mom's house.
Right.
I don't know. It's all a fucking mess.
It doesn't sound very exact.
You know, who probably has it?
Huh?
Your stepmom. Sorry.
What?
I don't know.
Now, is
why
she
I did
your
that.
Real mom? Do you consider her that?
No, she's not my mom. She'll never be my mom.
Sorry, okay. Sorry.
That's the
sorry.
Point, though.
I'm
so
sorry.
So, why should I even say anything to do with her with the word mom in it?
That's
okay.
True.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Step lady.
My dad's wife.
Right.
Step person.
Feel me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, what's the best thing you got for free? What would you say the best service you got for free in the
past? Mom you didn't want?
No, I don't have that. I don't know.
She's not gonna be your mom.
It doesn't seem as if this is a relatable conversation.
That's fine.
At this table,
you're right. Okay,
thank you for your.
And I don't know what my tone is. I don't know why I'm angry at you. We've been just watching the hell out of Hulu Plus for the past few weeks, and it is paying dividends.
No, why everything you say is killing
paying dividends.
I think being cheap is always like a very funny personality thing.
I mean, underrated free trials.
Right. Yeah. Free trials.
Underrated. Like, we've been watching the crap out of Hulu Plus.
Oh my
What's
God.
The myth here?
that you shouldn't do free trials because you're right.
That is the myth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy to get around. Come on. Just
The
thing you have to understand is you are scamming. That's a way to motivate yourself. Like this is all part of the scam. Their game is they think you're going to forget to cancel it, so just set the reminder.
And you just play a shell game with them with different emails.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Thank you.
There it is.
That was it.
All right. Let's talk about the DC movie universe. Not the best universe. Started out strong with Christopher Nolan Batman's Batman.
With the Tim Burton Batman.
Right.
Okay. Independence Day was set in DC. I don't understand the topic.
Lincoln.
Yeah, Lincoln. Lincoln lawyer, probably. Right. Lincoln's lawyer.
Yes, that's it. Guy who's never seen a movie.
Fucking idiot. The fuck? He hasn't been right about anything. There's no area of expertise. He's just a moron.
What do you think War Horse is about?
I don't know. Fucking a horse with a sword.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, well, pretty close.
So Aquaman is now the biggest DC movie ever, surpassing The Dark Knight. And, I mean, The Dark Knight was only, 10 years ago, 11 years ago? So it can't be that much.
No, 12.
12
it was
years ago.
No, I mean, it was in 2012, so it was 7.
Oh, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So it can't have been, it's not like just pure inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Like Aquaman is.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the one that took The Dark Knight Rises.
Right. It was 2012.
It's
and
2012,
I think
yes.
The original Dark Knight was 2008. Is Batman Begins 2008?
Dark Knight.
I give up.
No, Dark Knight was 2008.
2008.
But that was the second of the two.
Right. In the Nolan franchise.
Yes.
Anyways, this is good podcasting. reach out and let us know
when
The Dark Knight was.
Yeah, call us
on Twitter.
We'll wait. Also, who do you think Batman really is?
That's a great question.
Oh, he the Batman?
Great question.
Shit.
So, anyways, they started out strong with all the good Batman movies. And also, I was a huge Superman fan growing up. Anybody else? Big
Christopher Reeve?
Yeah, the Christopher Reeve movies. Yeah. I was real into those. Used to run around with my shirt off and a towel wrapped around my neck.
Mm. That was the cape, Miles.
Yeah.
Through
high school. And then I was told that wasn't socially acceptable to me.
Right.
That you would have. It was in high school?
Yeah. No, it was when I was 5. But
you had to clear that
I was running for student government, and it helped.
But anyways, now Aquaman is the biggest DC movie ever. Aquaman, the idea that there would be an Aquaman movie used to be a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was...
And I remember when I haven't seen it. I'm not interested in seeing it. But even the trailer, I was like,
yeah.
Okay. I guess if you, like, like water underwater that looks like not underwater.
Yeah, right. Everybody's moving around like they're just flying.
What was the deal here? Is it because just the international market has expanded so much?
That's right. Yeah, it's basically that. The Dark Knight did extremely well in America, but it only got 49% of its box office from overseas. And now the overseas markets have grown so much that, you know, even though Aquaman, so I think Dark Knight was like $535 million in America, $469 million overseas. Aquaman is $316 million in America, but $774 million overseas. So it's 71% of it is international box
and $1 billion in the seas for the fish right. audience.
Hey, like, overseas so much. And underseas.
Leaning back now.
Well, and that's it for me.
Shotgunning this LaCroix now.
I'll be here all week.
You think it's is there a Momoa factor? Is his fucking long hair and smoky eyes?
I mean, that shit translates to all languages. I
yeah,
believe,
that's right? true.
Like, you do not need, and I mean, this is the thing with international like box office that they say is that, you know, we are going to see more and more movies that are just focused on things that translate no matter what.
Right.
Like, you know, Fire. The action. Special effects and Jason Momoa.
Right.
They say
yeah,
by
truths.
They say by 2025, Jason Momoa will be in every movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And he will replace mathematics.
Yeah, that's right.
As a universal language.
Yes, Jason Momoa is the universal language. I've heard that this movie is like aggressively stupid, like almost intentionally so. Like Aquaman is dumb in the movie.
Mm.
Like his character is just like, ugh. What's up, man? Like, I literally heard that the movie ends.
See, bro.
The movie ends with him being like confused about having won, and then someone's like, "No, you're the king of the sea now." And he like turns to the camera and goes, "This is gonna be fun." And that's
oh,
it.
Credits
that's how it
spikes
ends.
The camera.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I mean, Dark Maybe. Knight. Some people think Dark Knight is the best comic book movie ever. I still probably ride for the first Avengers because it's just more fun, but Dark Knight's great. It's almost like a not a comic book movie.
Like, yeah, it's not a it's more like it looks like the toll it would take on a human being to be Batman.
Right,
it's kind
exactly.
of that first right. when that first one came out, I was right. like, ugh, dude, Bruce Wayne's a fucking weirdo. But then I'm like, of course you would be if you're every day trying to fight crime right. and your parents were murdered.
Yeah.
That'll mess you up.
Did someone try and
oh,
do
and
the
whole
math
well thing.
On like when
yes.
he when his parents would have been killed and it would
so
have been
so they said in the latest Batman, like I think it's maybe the latest comic book, you know, Batman takes place in the modern era and his parents died like what 17 years ago or something, like from when he like first
was a child, right.
Batman begun. and so they did the math and were like, they could have been coming out of Space Jam.
Yeah, that's right.
because of the time. Like, current day Batman's parents would have been killed leaving, like, with their fancy pearls and shit. Like,
Space
tuxedo.
Jam.
Tuxedo.
Well, I don't
out
know about
Space
you,
Jam.
Bruce. That felt quite derivative.
I think Barclay's going to make a fine analyst someday.
That's the last word his dad says.
Bill Murray killed me when he asked, what kind of camera is that? Right after they disappeared into that hole?
I have to look up who did that math. We're going to take a quick break while I do that, and we'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And the author of said tweet, which I'm about to read you, is Daniel Kibblesmith, who is a comic book writer and a writer for television. He tweeted on January 13th, "Hear me out. If Batman is canonically about 32, then he was born in 1986. And if his parents were killed leaving a movie theater when he was 10 years old, then there's a very real possibility," then like three paragraph breaks, "that they were seeing Space Jam," which is amazing to think about.
And Sean Bradley is 46 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Right,
man.
Now?
Hmm? I should tweet that. Apropos of nothing. Just, Sean Bradley is 46.
Just remember
this
that.
Instant.
Right.
Mm.
Well, he was always old, you know, when he entered the league because he did his mission.
Yes.
So that's something to keep in mind.
How old is he when he was he like 24 or something?
I think like 22.
Okay. Basketball.
Still old for NBA.
Yeah. Right.
Right. All right, guys, let's talk about 2020, the election specifically.
Oh, not the news show?
Yeah, not my favorite news show with John Stossel and Barbara Walters, but the election that we're all facing in 2020. First of all, Politico is reporting about how Wall Street is not fond of two of the campaigns, right?
No, they are shaking in their boots over Elizabeth Warren or Bernie winning. Right. Because, you know, they have kind of an agenda that's isn't favorable to predatory banks.
Yes. The CEO of a huge bank put it this way: "It can't be Warren and it can't be Sanders. It has to be someone centrist and someone who can win."
Interesting.
Which is interesting how he added "who can win."
Yeah, they can win.
Right. They could win. You wouldn't be scared of them.
Well, when you look, I mean, Bernie's only second to Biden in like sort of this like the, you know, generic polls right now. If the election were today,
right.
I mean, we also don't know if they're going to run for sure. So yes, Bernie could, you know, potentially win, but I guess what they mean is someone who is just more like will be nicer to banks. So that I think they name people like Cory Booker or Kirsten Gillibrand or Kamala Harris. Although like they're pretty progressive. I just feel like maybe because they haven't built careers on being like, look at what Wall Street has done to us.
Right.
They're a little bit, they feel that it's a little bit easier with them. But I think also, too, like this was just sort of based off like a couple interviews, because at the end of the day, they're going to give to whoever they think is going to be the president, because that's just how this shit works.
Well, right. And I think this is almost an endorsement for Sanders and Warren, like from the perspective of their supporters. Like, you want giant banks to not be fond of your candidate because giant banks and, you know, banking money is always seems to be the corrupting factor when it comes to politics.
I mean, yeah, that's just a good campaign slogan for Elizabeth Warren. I got the banks shook.
Right. Yeah.
All right. I'll vote. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, again, but then you also have people like Kamala Harris, who on Sunday kicked off her campaign in Oakland with a fucking bang.
Right.
I mean, they're reporting that there were maybe like 20,000 people that showed up. The photos definitely, I would believe that, because right. She had a lot of people come out in her hometown. And her, you know, she came out and spoke very clearly about where the country is, where it needs to be going, what the dangers are. And even touched on a few issues, you know, like a lot of people have criticisms of her when she was the Attorney General of California.
She's a cop.
Yeah, there are people on the far left to be like, she's a cop. Or really talking about her, she didn't voice an opinion on certain three strikes laws that were coming out. She felt it was inappropriate for someone as Attorney General to comment on some kind of legislation like that. But also has, you know, could have been a little more aggressive in holding police accountable for their criminal acts. But then, you know, as she was out there to make her speech, she points at issues like that directly about prison reform and cash bail and police violence and things like that, is things that have to be addressed. So she's definitely gaining momentum and had a pretty good showing. But the other thing that has Democrats actually shook is the idea of Howard Schultz, the former Starbucks CEO, running as an independent.
Did he announce that he is running?
I think
not yet.
Not yet. But he's like doing a listening tour. I think in like Iowa, and hopefully he will listen to people when they say, "Take your fucking money and go home."
Right.
So just because you think it's too hard to run as a Democrat and win that, don't just be like, "Well, then I'll just run. I'll be a self-funded independent third-party candidate."
Right.
Call it a large. Call it a medium. Call it a small. Put the Sonics back in fucking Seattle, Howard.
Right.
Yeah. Wait, is he to blame?
I think so, right? I think Howard Schultz had a lot to do with it.
Oh, God. My heart really goes out to Sonics fans.
Let's say he did.
Yeah, let's just say he did. Let's just add that to the pile.
He can take the hit.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
He said when they drafted
Kevin Durant,
he was like, this kid's never going to be any good. Get this team out of my town.
Yeah. This Russell Westbrook, he dresses boring.
Right.
We can't have him here.
What's going on? His pants don't fit. They're too short. They're all cropped. But the thing, I mean, a lot of people, especially for Democrats, they're just frightened because when you sort of look at how narrowly Hillary lost electoral votes in like three states across like 77,000 votes.
Right.
That's when you look at third party candidates and you're like, ooh, those are votes that could have gone to the Democratic candidate. But I guess, you know, there's a few ways of looking at it, too. While they're sort of just like the initial just like third party candidate means cannibalized votes, means vote splitting, means Trump will, you know, cruise to re-election.
Right.
There's also a school of thought that, you know, the people who might end up voting for Schultz if he runs would be like sort of softer Trump voters who people would just like help, like the people who would, you know, in postmortems about the election were like, well, I had to hold my nose and vote for Trump.
Right.
You know, just because I couldn't vote for Hillary or whatever. It's those people that could be swayed to Schultz rather than probably like, I'd imagine most people, if you identify as a Democrat, you're not going to be like, well, I'll take Trump over a very radical Democrat.
Right.
Right. So, you know, we'll see. But again, it's definitely, I think a lot of people, I think like Bloomberg thought about running independently too, but was like, I feel like an independent third candidate just means a re-election for Trump. So,
yeah. And I mean, he has a pretty solid 40% of the voting population, it seems like, just when you look at the fact that his approval still hover around 40%, his approval polls. Like, if what he's done thus far doesn't peel them off to just saying in a poll, I don't support him, I don't think Howard Schultz being a more centrist, less, like, fun-to-follow candidate is going to do anything to convert them. But
yeah, I mean, we'll see. If we've definitely seen that the shutdown has had an effect on the base a little bit in terms of like their enthusiasm over certain, you know, political points that the president has been championing. But you know, when there's all this like browbeating about like, oh, there could be another shutdown,
right,
I'm curious to see how people would react to that, because there were definitely more, you would hear more tales of Trump supporters who were like, I supported the president, and I still kind of do, but this is actually harming me
Right.
And I don't like that, which has been interesting. But, you know, a lot of people like that like to vote against their self-interest anyway.
Yeah. But guys, who better to reform our system that is being killed by inequality than a billionaire?
Oh, yeah.
We need billionaires.
Especially one who's like, I don't need any of you.
Right.
I'll buy this fucking thing if I want to.
This is my party.
Right.
I'm having my own party.
Right.
The Bucks party.
Yes.
Mm.
The Bucks party.
Starbucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got it.
I got the
Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought you were patronizing me like my stepmom.
Again, it's amazing how that could almost just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Seemingly.
But
anyway.
No, you seem over it. It seems like
I am.
Okay.
That's why I'm trying to move on.
That's why I'm saying
go to the next story.
Okay.
It does change the mood each time you bring it up.
No, not for me. Maybe for you. But I'm the one living in my head, so I know what it's like. Do you?
No, I would never speak about what you're thinking. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So.
Because she's really mean.
Right. God, it's like when I come in the morning, he's like listening.
He
corn.
Does this off.
He's listening. Oh, Jesus, just like
I'm listening to corn. Yeah, got the life on blast, and I do the sea walk. And get your boogie on part.
All right.
I don't know if you remember that was Dub C from West Side Connection in that video. Sorry.
All right, guys. Let's move on to what it's like to get a tour of the White House from the president himself. You might remember that early on in the Trump administration. There would be, you know, the normal White House tour, class trip, you know, when you sign up for a tour, just any old person. Sometimes Trump would just make a surprise appearance. He would like jump out from behind a curtain, be like, surprise, it's me, the president. This is a huge security risk.
Everyone's like, oh, Jesus.
Right. No, they literally, like a lot of people were scared. And then he would give a tour. So somebody looked into, I guess there's a new book being written.
Everybody's got a book, yeah.
Right.
Another White House aide, former.
Right.
Someone who got out the circus and is telling us what it was like in there.
Yes, a White House aide by the name of Cliff Sims.
Yeah. The book's called fucking Team of Vipers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yo.
I would have gone with den, like a den of vipers instead. But
right.
You know.
He's trying to, but see, den would throw people off. They don't, you know, a team of vipers. Mm. I think for every man and woman, child.
No, sorry, I am smart. You're right.
That's fine.
Take from that.
No, so what I was saying is you're not.
Huh?
God damn it.
Blake. I heard I am.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, this is getting sidetracked.
Team of Vipers.
You heard his film commentary? DC movie?
Yeah.
The Lincoln Lawyer?
Yeah, right. The Lincoln Lawyer.
I'm on it.
He was a lawyer for like that Lincoln Logs class action lawsuit.
Right. All the President's Men, my favorite DC Universe movie. Cliff Sims talked about what Trump would be like giving tours to friends, politicians, or whoever got a tour from the president. And there are some fun details. Like, basically, it was all just him shading the Clintons and Obamas.
Yeah. That's what he likes to do.
Yeah.
He'll go around. Whenever people would come into the Oval Office, like, apparently there's this thing, like, if he had people over for dinner, it always turned into, you want a tour?
Yeah.
Like, right after. And they're like, oh, sure. And then go to
expecting
the Oval Office.
Expecting it to be like, this is where Lincoln rested his head when he came up
the
with
Bill
the
Bill of Rights is right there for you to look upon. But would go into the Oval Office.
This is President Tabloids.
Yeah, this is President Petty.
Right.
Going into the Oval Office, basically like gesturing, like this is the scene of the crime for the Lewinsky-Clinton affair.
Right.
So it says, in a visit in 2017, Trump told a TV anchor, I'm told this is where Bill and Monica, stopping himself from going further. And then it says three other people who have embarked on a tour with Trump said he made similar comments regarding the former president and White House intern, laughing and making facial expressions. The subject often leads to lengthy, sometimes crass conversations.
Wait, so facial expressions being the blowjob facial expression?
I don't know.
He just raises his eyebrows up and down.
Right.
Like every for 5 minutes.
Hey, you know what happened here?
Boy, it's
fun. What's going on over there?
That's where there's a screw. Yeah. No one even knew there were sexual innuendos.
Right. He's just doing like chicken wing arm flapping. Like, right.
It's like, I don't even know.
But yeah, so I think he had a record of making people uncomfortable somehow with his obsession with the Clintons and talking about their, you know, little trysts that were going on
right
back there. Especially, I mean, the facial expressions really is kind of awesome.
Right.
But and the then, lengthy part is like, also, like, people are almost like, right, right. Okay. Like, yeah. Can we, can I go?
Right. Also, where Kennedy, like, dealt with the crisis of the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, like, all sorts of important things happened here, right? Yeah. President Trump.
Yeah, yeah. There was that. I think Jack Nicholson and Mars Attacks.
Right.
When the Martians came, you had to deal with
that. I remember.
Dear God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That's how off-putting that man is that these people are getting a once-in-a-lifetime experience of a tour of the White House, and they're just like, I can't wait for this to be fucking over.
Right.
He's so awful.
And then with regards to Obama, he just, I think this is partially him, like, sort of projecting what his day is like, but he said that his favorite narrative around the Obamas was that they were bad tenants that put, like, holes in the wall. And that Obama sat around watching basketball all day.
Not racist.
No.
Not racist, just a fact.
Right.
It's not racist if that's the deal. He's black and loves basketball all day and was a bad president.
He just sat in here and watched basketball all day. Yep. It seems like that's what Obama
was. And he was
blasting
that trap music or something. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, he just said,
all day.
Holes in the wall. Also, he would repeatedly say, yeah, this place is in real rough shape. Like when he first got there.
Right.
Because I remember like his first sort of thing of like just trying to constantly allude to some fucking weird idea that the Obamas are out of control tenants who are just bashing the fucking walls in.
Right.
But yeah, and then, but it's just such a weird thing because then he brags about how like how small the TV used to be in there.
Right.
And now he's like, well, now I got to look. Now it's big. Now it's gigantic.
Like, did you build the big TV? Like,
he clasped to join up.
Oh,
right.
So you made it better, so now you're in here watching TV all day?
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to need a bigger TV. We're going to need a way bigger TV.
Right.
Just Fox on loop.
Right. Well, speaking of the president watching Fox for the first time, he might be seeing some things that he does not like, because after he did his best impression of a caveman...
Whoa. I don't know, man. Geico caveman.
Yeah. Geico caveman. By
remember
caving.
That pilot?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
How can I forget?
Is that on ABC or something? Yeah. That was a hell of a sitcom.
Yeah. So apparently Trump is trying to bring back that show about the caveman.
Oh boy.
Because he really
caved this weekend.
Yeah. Went spelunking when he caved this weekend.
Jack won't be in tomorrow.
Oh my God.
Watch out now.
Oh my God, you are wearing tissue boxes on your feet. Wow. I thought that was a joke when Anna slid me that note.
I thought that was a new Pharrell collab, but that's actually actual
Kleenex X Pharrell. Yeah.
So
go on.
So his base is actually not very happy with him. For the first time, he managed to alienate his base finally by shutting down the government for over a full month and then, you know, basically giving up
all
for
that
the
for
same
nothing.
For the same deal that he was offered in the first place.
Yeah.
So the idea that he's, you know, president negotiation, president deals just seemed to evaporate before them, and they were none too pleased with him.
Donald Trump is the type of dude I would see at high school parties who would get their chain stolen from them in front of them. Like someone would just pull up and be like, give me your chain.
Right.
And they would just give it up because they're not built for it. Mm-hmm. And then you'd be like, I'll sell it to you for $20 right now. And then they would buy it right back. That's right. The kind of deal maker he is. He's so transparently, like, doesn't know where he is.
Right.
He doesn't have a plan. He just says shit. And then it gets him into this thing. And yeah, look what happens. Like, Ann Coulter and Newt Gingrich had a slap fight on Twitter, basically.
Right. Where he would leave that interaction bragging to everybody that he got this chain for just
$20. Yeah. Yeah. Right. They're like, wait, didn't you come in wearing that?
Right.
Yeah, but I got it for $20.
Yeah, but it was yours. it was your chain.
Well, he asked me. He said 40 at first.
My version of that story is chain for boat shoes. And then that is that's my version of that exact story, but untied.
So he was tweeting over the weekend, calling out specifically some Fox News reporters, or at least trying to call them out for having what he said less understanding of the wall than CNN and NBC. Which is the worst thing you can say about a person in his circle.
Oh,
of reporters.
Harsh.
Unfortunately, he tweeted that at a California teenager who had the same name as one of the reporters, just spelled differently.
Oh, so he misspelled a person's name, ended up typing the handle of some innocent teen.
Yes, who got caught in the crosshairs of and his first like negative like clapback at a Fox News report.
Can you imagine her mentions?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine that poor girl,
that poor kid,
being just an innocent bystander in the culture war?
Right. Did he take it down, or is it still up?
Oh, I'm sure.
He doesn't take them down, right?
Yeah. There's nothing down.
That would imply a regret.
Right. Well, there was what's interesting, too, is there was another Fox anchor or presenter on Fox who, like, defended them and, like, added the president. Was like, this is not right. Like, they're just reporting what happened. And so it's weird to now have the thing that mainstream media has been saying. They're like, we're not lying.
Right.
This is what's happening.
Yeah.
And then now it's happening to Fox now because apparently there's limits to their own, you know, self-delusion.
Yeah, it seemed impossible because Fox was basically state-run media for a long time. And we've talked about how Trump is basically media-run state. But Ann Coulter, like, also just talked about how he's a bad president and kind of wimpy.
Yeah,
which is her biggest insult.
What was her thing? She's like, oh, congratulations to George H.W. Bush. Like, you're no longer the wimpiest president ever.
Right.
Because that's Trump now.
Yeah.
And then like
face.
Newt Gingrich was like, he's like, well, you're just being loud to sell books. Like, you don't have to listen to her, Mr. President.
Right.
Like, don't take it personally.
And I think Trump was like, I must not have returned one of her emails or something. Like,
is that what he said?
Yeah. Like, she's a scorned woman who's just mad at him. Also, Ann Coulter apparently went on Bill Maher and he was like, when did you realize that Trump was an idiot?
Right. Now that you've had it.
Right.
When was that moment for you?
Right.
Because, okay, and this is interesting.
And she was like, you're right. I'm crazy. I'm an idiot. Like, I should have known better. So she's fully, I mean, not that this has any meaning because she changes her opinions day to day. But so Trump was, you know, out sniping at Fox News. And yesterday morning, Fox and Friends, this is starting to have the feel of like a bad breakup because Fox and Friends was like, the president shouldn't care so much about what people in the media are saying. It's like, that is your entire power is that he watches your show every day and like just takes everything you say as fact and compliments your job.
It's like bullies at school. They're like, you don't have a polka dot shirt? Polka dots are in.
Right.
Polka dots are in, hammering in this person, finding the person, change their whole wardrobe to all polka dot. The next day, oh, polka dots are fucking dumb.
Right.
What you look stupid now. Like, hold on. Y'all were basically in his ear every day. But I guess that's the power now is that they're just sort of like, okay, wow. Only listen to some people. We love you. Don't listen to the bullies. We still want to somehow be like an earwig that gets in your brain. I don't know.
And I'm not talking about this just to like kick him while he's down. It just seems like a new look for him that doesn't really fit with his overall the vibe that
he puts
his
forward.
Followers like seem to want to believe about him, that
right.
he's this like impervious, like just badass who like nobody can get to him, and he's like, even when he's being, you know, seemingly wrong, at least he's belligerent. And so you can be like, well, he's secretly doing this because he's playing 12 degree chess. But like, that doesn't work when he's like wounded and like, oh, guys, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Stop it. Stop being mean to me. And now 61% of Americans say America is on the wrong track. He's doing badly in the polls, but still hovering around 40%.
I think 49% or just under 50 say they have no confidence whatsoever or at all, I think was the wording, in his ability to run the country.
Yeah. So that's a bad look. But
must look good from the Kremlin.
Yeah. I'm sure he's going to figure out a way to get people revved up. He does seem to have a talent for populism. So
he's like, Roseanne's my running mate. Right.
That would be amazing.
Let's do this shit.
Wheel her out. Get me Roseanne.
And there's a report out that his polling is really in bad shape in states like Wisconsin, or at least specifically in Wisconsin. Almost half of the voting population says that they specifically will vote for anybody who runs against Trump. Like, they've decided they're not voting for him already. So that's not a lot of room for error, especially because he won Wisconsin by a very thin margin last time.
He's like, okay, new running mate, Brett Favre and Antonio Freeman.
Right. It just remains to be seen. Like, it seems crazy because he won by the thinnest margin you know, maybe ever or close to ever of any president, and has done such a bad job since he came into office. But there does still seem to be this base that refuses to acknowledge that. So I feel like one way or another, it's going to be, he's going to make it close. I just don't know how yet.
Yeah, because what he won by less than, I think, 25,000 votes in Wisconsin.
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah. A war would be good for
Don't him. Give don't. Him ideas. You know he listens every day.
Right. He is Zeitgang.
Oh, God. Don't say that either.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.
And we're back. And Miles, you're telling me about a new kind of gimmick when it comes to how our coffee is roasted. And it reminded me of something Robert Evans apparently rediscovered this weekend, which is the marketing plan behind Pepsi's redesign of their logo. So you talk about your coffee thing, and then I want to take you through a little bit of that.
Fair. Okay. You know, I'm just looking on the internet as I do.
Sure.
But there was like this weird article about like space age coffee, and I look at it. There's a company called Space Roasters, okay? And they're giving coffee to the masses, bro, because the way they're doing it is unlike any other process, right? Normally you roast a bean and then you grind that up to make your coffee.
That
right?
sounds old and boring.
Yeah, because they're probably using shit like heat to roast it.
What are you, my grandma?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you guess what these guys are using? Fucking heat.
What?
Yeah, also, but here's the hook.
Okay.
Space heat.
Oh.
Because they're using re-entry from space, okay, on like a space vehicle, re-entering Earth's atmosphere. And that friction from the re-entry is used to then heat the coffee beans to roast it. So what they do is they describe it as they have a space roasting capsule. The heat from re-entry will be, quote, distributed around four cylinders, each containing 75 kilograms of coffee beans, floating in microgravity. The beans will be evenly heated and roasted during the process. The capsule will then be recovered after landing with parachutes. Okay, when you're adding that detail, you mean you have nothing else to talk about. The entire process will only last 20 minutes, but will end with a marvelous aroma as the hatch is opened. Now, again, I do not know. They don't, in what I've read, I have not read anything about why space heat is more advantageous than terrestrial earthbound heat.
Because it's from space.
Right.
Right, but that's, what the fuck?
No, it's more energy.
Right. More energy.
Yeah, in space.
Yo, you ever space espresso?
It's been to space. Yeah.
Space brew?
Oh, space brew.
I remember that was a thing. Well, I remember growing up that there was a thing where we had tomato seeds that they were going to take into space and then bring them back, and we were going to grow to see if they like changed at all. Did you guys remember that?
No.
That sounds fun. Yeah.
My sounds like a lie. My teacher stressed out science teacher.
These are space tomatoes.
We're sending them to space.
Yeah.
Space pizza.
But anyways, I have always wanted my coffee to be toasted by the same thing that killed the Columbia space shuttle crew.
I have always said that.
The 7-member crew of the Columbia space shuttle, the thing that took them down, I want that to be roasted in my morning cup. So
that's good news.
It's just so weird.
It's like the Apollo 13 fire.
In the even the press release that inquiring minds would receive, like journalists, like some of the quotes are just like, coffee has been roasted the same way for centuries now, and as space science has improved many technologies, we believe it is time to revolutionize coffee roasting using space technology. I've not again heard that like being suspended in gravity brings out other dimensions of flavor, or that this heat is different than other. It's just good for the sake of change. I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
It's progressive.
Even then, so on Ars Technica, they tried to break down like what this even costs. Like, okay, so you're saying you get 75 kilos up there times whatever. So they said, for the sake of argument, let's assume the company can launch a 500 kilogram capsule into a 180 kilometer suborbital trajectory, because that's how they envision a 180 kilometer suborbital trajectory being the way that they achieve that heat. And they say, assuming all 300 kilograms of beans are roasted optimally, this comes to $20,000 per kilogram of roasted beans. There are between 10 to 15 grams of coffee beans in a cup of coffee. So even on the lower end, just for the rocket cost, that is $200 per cup of coffee.
Those are La Colombe prices.
Oh my God, you're bleeding from your nose.
Is it bleeding again?
Oh no.
I don't know what that meant.
La Colombe. Oh my God. Oh.
Is that cocaine?
Those fancy. No. Oh. That's perico. Mm. That's what we call it now in the streets. The La Colombe is like that canned latte that Sophie always buys.
Oh,
and
right.
And she's always freaking out when it's not there. It's like, oh, we're out of La Colombe.
Yeah, that's right.
And now they have a few shops.
They have one in Frogtown.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. But yeah, what the fuck are you going to do? And then they're saying that's just the raw cost of attaching it to like getting a space flight.
Right.
Because you're piggybacking off someone else's million-dollar operation.
Well, it's shitty coffee. That's the thing you have to understand. The beans suck. It's just Folgers. But it's been to space.
What we do is we get a 500-kilogram batch, and then we put a little bit of that. We spread that 500 kilograms over 10,000 bags.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just you, man.
Right.
But you're going to love it.
I mean, the most expensive cup of coffee I've ever heard about is the coffee with the beans that go through a bat's digestive tract.
Guano.
Yeah.
Or the monkey one, right?
Yeah. It's various beans that get eaten because they're seeds of fruit, coffee beans. And so they get eaten by the animal, shit out, and people pay huge amounts of money to make their coffee out of those beans that have been pooped.
Go on.
That makes more sense to me than roasting the coffee in a thing that's like space reentry.
Well, because you can argue that their digestive tract is something different than just something as basic as heat.
That's the claim that they make, is that like by going through the digestive tract, it,
but even
like,
then, I remember
like
we
some strange thing.
I remember when we brought it up, and then every Zeitgang was on Twitter being like, "I've had it. It's shit. Also, the way it's made is problematic. It's bullshit." And I'm like, "Yeah, I get it. I mean, nothing about. I think it's purely for someone who gets so off on the idea that they're drinking coffee that has some kind of unique backstory." But I haven't even read where the fucking beans come from. Like, I think that's more important than how you're fucking roasting them.
Nah, it's the roasting method, bro.
At the risk of costing us $800 billion, take that goddamn beast, bat, monkey, whatever it is that eats the beans, put it in a space shuttle, feed it those beans, have it shit in space, then put it out.
Wow.
Right?
We figured it out. We've cracked the code. We're going to edit this part out. And
please.
You will never hear another episode of the Daily Zeitgeist because
this
is our business model going forward.
Again, I just have to bring up again, even through all their fucking materials, all of it is focused on how you just roast something with space heat.
Right.
It's nothing to do with the flavor or the experience of the finished product. And it just,
they don't even
why.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't like, get what you don't get, Miles. It's going to space. It's space heat. It's re-entry heat.
I know.
Have you seen Apollo 13?
I sound like the sober friend when these two guys who must have done so much blow when they figured this out. I'm the sober friend who's like, yeah, but what's different? Nah, dude.
Fucking, it's fucking space. The fucking heat is from space, dude. It's not like fucking fire, dude. And that's that. You fucking tell him, dude. It's fucking different.
You explain. Remember when Miles used to be fucking fun?
Right. Yeah. Jesus, guys. I just, you know, between that and your past, whatever, fine.
So I did want to bring up the redesign of the Pepsi logo because Pepsi back in, I don't know, it was like 2007 or so, spent $100 million on having a new logo design.
How much?
$100 million. Several hundred million dollars. I'm sorry. Several hundred million dollars.
To go from the wavy thing to like the wave, more
the guy's ass.
Yeah, yeah. That looks like it's a sunburnt plumber bending over with his underwear peeking out.
Yeah.
It does look like that.
Cool.
But so in order to make that transition, a design firm had to justify like how brilliant this change was
right,
to
because
the Pepsi company.
Side by side, it looks like the most minimal fucking change.
So Gawker got their hands on a 27-page document back in the day titled Breathtaking Design Strategy. And it contains like all the references to the fucking golden ratio, feng shui. There's like this thing that it has a x-axis that says convention to innovation, and then a y-axis that says DNA to the future. And it puts the like old Pepsi logo on one, and then is like the future is now with the new one.
That's merely to just like create the metaphor of what's there's nothing. Because when I saw that, I'm like, what the fuck is this? It doesn't even make sense. Like
none of it makes sense. No, they're just. Completely,
so full of shit.
So full of shit that they include the Mobius strip, the Earth's geodynamo, and then comparing that to the Pepsi logo. It's just
amazing.
What the fuck do they think the consumer on this end be like? I fuck with it because they incorporate a sacred geometry into this.
Well,
it gets really good on page 7.
Their thesis is that like they're tapping into all this like
subconscious
stuff, like this is the future for Pepsi. But it's just it's truly a remarkable document of like just how screwed we are as a species.
I was so confused when I saw Robert tweet it out, and then I saw you retweet it, and I just started looking through, and I thought it was some kind of like bad scientific presentation that was just lazily using Pepsi logos because like the diagrams are way too excessive for like merely like a marketing deck.
Right.
That I was like, oh, this has to be some kind of scientific shit. And I stopped.
Golden ratio.
You just figured it was over your head.
Yeah, I did. Because I was like, oh, this is some other shit.
And then
I didn't know
exactly
that this was them
what they were
justifying. Okay, yeah. I know you paid us $100 million to turn that little wavy thing into a more angular like brush stroke.
Right.
Oh, man, we're in the wrong fucking business.
I know, man.
Yeah. I could put together a deck like, oh, my God.
You gotta
these
lie
people
more.
Have cracked the code. Like,
yeah.
We need to look into what these people were doing during the 2016 election because they have cracked the code of how to just justify anything to anyone.
Yeah. God. I wonder if the Pepsi people who were in marketing that hired that firm were like in hot water. Like, after
I'm
they
sure.
do that, someone goes, hold on. What the fuck was that? We paid off. That guy was on coke.
Right.
And he just talked about space. We just wanted a logo redesign.
Well, I'm sure this document was the result of the company sending in a version and the Pepsi marketing person who was like, trust me, it's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, going back and being like, I'm going to need a little more than that.
Right.
I'm going to need a little more until it's just like the geodesic dome, man.
Right.
Like, think about it.
They're like, what?
The Earth's geodynamo.
Like, we just asked what's testing better with younger people. What the fuck is all this other shit?
6 hours later.
It's probably like working for Trump because, like, there was that thing where he just out of nowhere was like, there's women being duct taped bound at the border, these human trafficking things. And then
whoa.
Border Patrol like sent an urgent email to everybody like, yo, does anybody have anything that might even in a like tangential way back up this like weird claim he just made? And it was crickets.
Really?
Yeah.
That happened? Because
he said that dumb shit. Yeah. And they're like Border Patrol. They were like, is this true? Right. And there was an like someone forwarded an email of like people asking if they had heard of anything or had any evidence.
So detailed.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what they said, is that retroactively constructing the narrative is like anybody who edited on The Apprentice says they totally recognize like what it's like to be a White House employee or just anybody working for Trump, because he would just do stuff on a whim that didn't make any sense. Like he'd be like, you're fired. And they're like, no, they're supposed to like they're doing the best. Everybody likes them. But he would just fire them, and then they'd have to like construct some narrative out of the footage that made that person look bad. And it's just another season of his reality show, basically.
Oh, those poor editors.
I know.
Nothing worse than be like, hi, make the person who never screwed up the whole show look like a total fucking asswipe. Yeah. Asswipe. I don't know why I said it like that.
Asswipe.
In this show. God.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look. Shout out to editors.
Shout out to editors.
All around the world.
Fixing yeah. things.
Especially for this episode.
And then that person whose mistakes you always had to clean up ends up being the president. You just spend every day seeing him make the same exact mistakes that you covered up before.
I'm so distraught. I think the only thing that can help me is a nice cup of space coffee right now.
Yeah, exactly. Get a boost.
Yeah, I mean, so much of like medicine and how our body behaves is the placebo effect. So, I mean, maybe space coffee will be better.
I just want somebody to give me the follow-up piece as to why space heat is different from the
again,
roasting
it's
process.
Space, Miles.
You can be waiting a while.
I don't know how many times.
That would be amazing if you just get 1,000 tweets being like, but
it's
space,
fucking
bro.
Space, dumb
Your stepmom's
fuck.
A bitch.
Blake, it's been a pleasure having you for the most part.
Thank you. And that's the nicest thing, while being honest, you could say to me. This guy's in bad shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, follow you?
At Blake Wexler, everything.
All right.
Yeah.
And
simple.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. Actually, this tweet made me laugh just because of how silly and weird it is. This is from my friend Luke Giordano on Twitter. Cars get louder when speeding because the faster you go, the more it hurts them. Race cars are constantly screaming in excruciating pain.
That's so funny.
So weird.
It's like, that reminds me of like in the Fast and the Furious movies, like the way that you win at racing is just pushing the gas down like even harder.
Right.
It's
right.
Just like, why didn't you push it down that hard from the beginning?
Yeah.
You're like, all right, I'm really doing it this time.
Oh, yeah. I'm serious about going fast.
Right. gotta live life 1/4 mile at a time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank God someone said it.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. This is just a great one from Reductress. Because this sums up my attitude. It says, it's a woman with a very disappointed face, and it says, everyone immediately making fun of Carrie's music choices after insisting she be in charge of the Spotify. That is the worst fucking hill to die on. Like, when people really puff their chests up about, like, let me take over.
Right.
You know, never. Like, and that happens a lot now because we're in an era where everyone's just sort of DJing off Spotify. And there's nothing more satisfying than someone who really, like, tries to hijack the stereo and then comes in with the just biggest L. Rest in
right.
peace. Big L. Rest in peace. you know, out the gate. So that's that.
There you go.
Follow me there.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Sarah Baby at Nacho Sarah tweeted, going to a special place in hell. Sounds cool, because who wants to go to regular hell and have to like hang out with Ann Coulter? And Ian Carmel, Big Karma, tweeted, PJ Tucker's IG is so good and pure. It's just him posting amazing sneakers he's gonna wear and all his basketball friends going, bro, don't do it to him in the comments. But they do want him to do it to them. They do. They want it. And his IG is great. So yeah, go follow PJ Tucker. You can find us on Twitter @Daily Zeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. and our website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going
to
be?
This is a song.
Okay, that's all we need to know. Thank you so much.
Yep, fantastic. And that's that. Gotta go. Yes, so this is from New Optimism, which is actually Miho Hattori, who is from Chibomato. It's her new project. And this song is called Dr. Maiho. And, you know, it's just it's something different. You know, something. Actually, I've been playing a lot of Japanese music recently, but yes, let's take this one, put it in our ear goblets.
All right. Ear goblets.
That's
interesting.
Good.
So yeah. Royal.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We'll be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Come in. I'm Dr. Maiho. Special raising the art of flow. You got allergy for the beam on frame on the pain on shame. Your sign, your name, please sit down. I'm Dr. Maiho. Accept Medicare. I don't care. I'm square. I'm a fair. I'm square. I'm
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.